This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Navigating Adult ADHD, where if I was worried about perfection, we sure as shit would not be getting this episode recorded for you all today. Oh, I don't know what's going on right now, and I'll tell you, I'm just going to be completely transparent. I have got a new appointment booked to discuss medication and making some changes because I've noticed that my mood has dropped and I'm not feeling as, not happy, that's not the right word, but like my mood has definitely lowered and I am way more frustrated than I had been, and that's saying something because I was still pretty frustrated. So whether or not there is a hormonal imbalance or it is medication related, I am going through a process of just trying to navigate all of that and figure it out at the moment. And as part of that, I have noticed that this week specifically getting a podcast, you know, getting my notes drafted, like I draft the notes for you all of what I'm going to say, and also so I remember and I make sure I cover everything that I want to say. So even just going through that process has taken me twice as long as it usually would. And I've just built in space for that and not, you know, not beat myself up, not made that a problem. But I'm just observing that things are a little more challenging and a little more difficult as a result of whatever is going on right now. And the reality is that, you know, sometimes we don't know what it is. We can't necessarily pinpoint it. And that might be what happens for me. And I might, you know, have to figure out other ways to navigate and work with this. But yeah, it's been really interesting to notice that the perfection element, which ironically was last week's episode, FIC Perfection, ADHD and Perfectionism, that has really come out strong this week with me wanting to get this podcast right and wanting to make sure I cover all the things because I think it's such an important topic. And yeah, so if that was what we were going for, we would not have a fucking episode. So we're rolling with what we've got, and I'm actually pretty stoked with what we've got to. So all of that to say, hi, I'm with you all in the trenches right now. All right, friends. So one of the things that I coach ADHDers on is how to get more time or not having enough time to get everything done. And one of the things that we often look at is their priorities and where they're spending their time and energy. Now, specifically, if they are spending their time and energy in places that they want to be spending it. So prioritizing our tasks as ADHDers, prioritizing in general, whether that be in our lives and our goals, this can be something that we struggle with. And that's because it requires executive functioning skills, okay? And what that means is we need to get the various managers of different departments in our brain to cooperate and to work together. And generally, they're fighting and arguing and not doing that. So for us, and I'm including myself included, we can struggle to put things in order of priority. And we often see everything or most things on our list as very urgent. While something might be important, it isn't necessarily urgent. And when we're not able to separate those things and see the differences, we often do way too many things or try to do lots of different things at once. We end up overwhelmed and exhausted. And when we try to give everything in our lives urgent attention and a lot of importance, we end up leaving ourselves off the list. Okay, so often we don't factor in our own needs and we get sacrificed. I see this time and time again, especially with women who have ADHD. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about the spoon theory before we dive in, because I'm going to refer to this throughout. So if you're not familiar with spoon theory, it's a metaphor describing the amount of physical and or mental energy that a person has each day. Okay, so we each have a limited amount of spoons, which represent the physical or mental energy that we have available for our daily activities and tasks. Okay, so it kind of demonstrates that we have a limited amount and then we run out. Now, every task requires a set amount of spoons. But what can happen is on a good day, when I make breakfast, I have been making smoothies lately, and when I make a smoothie, it might take me one spoon to make that. But on a not good day, which is basically what I described to you today, where I'm noticing that I'm low mood, everything is a bit more of a struggle, my ADHD symptoms seem to be heightened right now. So on a day that is more difficult, making my smoothie for breakfast may require 3 or 4 spoons. This morning it felt like more like 2, 2.5. Okay. Now, this inconsistency can make it quite hard for those of us with ADHD to visualize future tasks and prioritize. So to give you another example of this, just last week I had a session with a client who had planned to go for a run after work. And by the time she got home from work, she had so few spoons left from that day that she didn't have the mental, emotional, or physical capacity to go for her run. Okay, so she went for a walk instead. Now, that was a really smart decision because going for a walk helped her to conserve her spoons, still move her body, and support mental, emotional well-being, physical health, all of that. But she was able to save her spoons so that she could make dinner and spend time with her family later on that evening. But in going for the walk, she also gained a few spoons by moving her body and walking with her partner and connecting with him. Okay. So that's spoon theory. And it's a really great way to think about the amount of mental and physical energy and emotional energy that we have in our day-to-day lives and how something that, you know, might be easy one day could be hard the next day because of that resource, okay? All right, moving on. A priority. What is it? A priority is what is most important in our life and what we put first, okay? Now, just because something is a priority or your top priority, that doesn't necessarily mean that it gets the majority of your time or attention. Now, typically, most of our time is spent either sleeping or trying to sleep. I know some of you can relate to that, right? Or your time, a lot of your time is spent at work, okay? So whatever that looks like, going to work and, you know, making income to provide for yourself, your family, etc. Now, I hear from so many of you that say taking care of your family should be your number one priority. And then you feel resentful or frustrated and annoyed because you never have any time for yourself. And is it a priority because you want it to be? But is putting family at the top of your list a priority because you want it to be, or is it because you think it should be? Because those are two very different things. When something is a should, it feels very heavy. It comes with a ton of pressure and it often has resentment attached to it. Whereas when something is a want, it feels a lot lighter. It's more like a pull forward rather than that heaviness and that weighing down. Okay. So I want you to consider your top 5 priorities and the order that you would put them in. I'm going to share with you the order that I often hear when I ask people this question. What are your top 5 priorities in order? So often I will hear number 1 is family, number 2 is work, and it might be a business that you're running or whatever your job is. Number 3 is health and fitness. Number 4 is friends, and number 5 is often something like making a difference, helping people, a hobby or an interest or a goal that you have, okay? So again, from the top, number one, family, number two is work, number three, health and fitness, number four is friends, and number five is making a difference or a hobby or interest. I want you to think for a moment, what is missing from that list of priorities? You. Let that sink in for a minute. When you thought about your top five priorities, did you include yourself on that list? Most of the time, and I would say 99% of the time, when I ask people this question, they don't make it onto that list of the top five. And when I point that out, it's like, oh, shit, no, I didn't. And right, that's okay, right? You are not alone. I definitely did this for a very long time. I did not factor into that list. In fact, I'm going to share a story with you all in a moment about that. But where does your mental health, your emotional health, your overall well-being, the things that bring you joy, that light up your life, your goals and your dream, where does that factor in to your list of priorities? Now, I'm not going to give you some cliche, you can't pour from an empty cup spiel, okay? Although that definitely does apply here and it's a great visual representation. Instead, I'm going to share a story to really try and demonstrate this with you all, okay? So years ago, when I was obsessed with losing weight, I was convinced that if I could just be skinny, then I would finally be happy. It was like, if I could just be skinny, I'd be happy and all of my life would just fall into place and everything would finally be wonderful. Now, my number one priority at that time was losing weight. I took diet pills. I made myself run every single day, even when I didn't want to and my body was hurting. I punished myself mentally and physically with exercise when I overate or I had a treat. I would beat myself up and like overthink things and be really nasty to myself anytime I ate more than I had kind of planned to, based on whatever diet or, you know, thing I was doing at the time. And what I didn't pause to consider at that time was if my priorities were in line with the goal, or if the goal that I had was supporting the priorities that I wanted to live by. So here's what I mean. I wanted to be slim, right? But I also wanted to be healthy. And more than anything, I wanted to be happy. Now, taking diet pills when I went through that period of time, that was not good for my health. Punishing myself with exercise and, you know, being horrible to myself and beating myself up, that made me even more miserable. Now, the way I was doing it, none of that was enjoyable or supportive of what I now know is my ADHD brain. I didn't know that then. I really wasn't working with myself. I was fighting against myself, trying to beat myself into submission. I was creating unhappiness and poor mental and physical health through many of the choices that I was making. So there are two things that I really want to demonstrate here. Number one is we can break our individual priorities down and look at how we are living in line with those. Look at the things we're doing and see, are they actually supportive of the overall goal? Or are there changes that we could make to better live in line with that goal? And the second thing here I want to demonstrate is sometimes what we think is us prioritizing ourselves or our health in this example is actually not supportive of our mental and emotional health and well-being. Okay, health and well-being that we both need and want in order to thrive and enjoy our lives. So basically, I was trying to hate my way to happiness. I'm going to say that again. I was trying to hate my way to happiness through punishing myself with awfully strict diets, ridiculous amounts of exercise, and mental beatings. I took the joy right out of my own life. Now, I learned many valuable lessons in this, especially around how to achieve goals in a sustainable, fun, and enjoyable way, whilst also experiencing the growth and discomfort necessary in order to achieve the goal And in order to become the person who has and keeps the goal, okay, I learned that I needed to shift my identity and become the person who lives and behaves in the way in which I wanted to live and behave with that goal. I hope that makes sense, and I understand that it may not, and we're going to get into that a little more in a future episode, because as we approach the end of year and the new year, I know there's going to be a lot of goal setting going on, so there's plenty for us to talk about in a future episode. All right, but today my number one priority is my mental health and emotional health and well-being. That is priority number one. And when this is prioritized, I then have the mental capacity to give more time and energy to other areas of my life, to other people in my life. I feel better. I experience less stress and overwhelm, but I'm also able to better manage the day-to-day challenges of life and the stress and the overwhelm that does arise. And I also have much less energy drain when I make my mental health, emotional health, and well-being my number one priority. Basically, I end up with more spoons and I'm better able to spend my spoons. Okay. So to give you an example of what my priorities are today in order, number one, mental health, emotional health, and well-being. Number two is physical health and fitness. Number three is my family, and that includes my cats. Number four is my work, and part of that includes supporting the neurodivergent community. And number five is travel and adventure. Now, I by no means get that perfect all of the time. Of course not. I'm human, and I'm an ADHD human. But I do learn as I go, and I have certain things that I do daily for myself to make sure that I'm taking care of the asset. And here's what I know. We are the number one asset in our lives. You are the thing that you must take care of and protect. You matter. And if we aren't willing to show ourselves that we matter and our priorities, you know, we are a priority, our life is going to be much harder than it needs to be. Okay, again, you matter and you deserve to be prioritized. And hear me when I say, we teach other people how to treat us. So when we demonstrate that we matter and we're important and we prioritize ourselves, other people treat us with that same love and respect. All right, I could keep going on that, but let's talk about balance. Balance is perfectionist thinking. Thinking that every area of our life can and will be perfectly balanced is not helpful. Do you know anyone personally who has this nailed? Probably not. I certainly don't. And that's because our priorities do shift and change. And that's okay. Imbalance can actually be incredibly useful, especially if we want to achieve a big goal. So for example, if you quit drinking and you go to rehab, that will be a huge priority for a time of your life. And it will mean that you probably take time off work. You may need to spend less time with your family and friends, and you may go to, you know, a rehabilitation facility, and you will be putting you and your mental health and your, you know, physical health in direct focus for a while. It will be your priority. But your willingness to let that be your number one priority will have a hugely positive impact on all other areas of your life. That imbalance will ultimately create more balance across other areas of your life later on. It will mean that your relationships will improve. It will mean that you know, your ability to function at work will begin to improve. No doubt you will have, you know, you'll have better health. You will probably end up with more energy and more ability to do other things in your life, more time to, you know, do things that you enjoy or learn new things, engage in other activities. Okay. The same is true of somebody studying at university. For perhaps a 4-year period of your life, that is a really big priority for you, meaning that you may not be able to travel with your friends who are doing an OE, you know, exploring the UK Europe region. You may, you know, not be able to do a lot of other things during that period of time, but once you've got your degree, then you start to create more balance in other areas of your life. It has that positive ripple effect throughout your life because you were willing to let it be such a big priority in your life. It creates that positive ripple. Okay. Sometimes we just need to tip the balance for a period of time in order to make a significant impact or a change. All right. Is it urgent or is it important? Let's talk about that next. In our society, so many things today feel like they are urgent. So the phone ringing, notifications going off, emails coming in, it can all feel really, really urgent. So you could be having lunch with someone and their phone keeps going off and they just keep checking it and they have made their phone more important than the time that they're spending with you. Now, I have one friend who is notorious for doing this, but I've also been that person myself many, many times, okay? Now, this is different when you're waiting for a phone call from your doctor because you're waiting on some very important test results, or perhaps you've got a kid who's at school but they weren't feeling great this morning, so you know that you could be getting a call to pick them up, so you just want to have your phone handy and just check that it's not the school calling. Right, but the reality is that 95% of the things that, you know, get our attention like that, they are not actually urgent. Granted, some of them may be important, or they may feel, I'm using air quotes, feel urgent. Like, I'll give you a great example. When my mum texts me and she says, "Can you please call me?" And that's it, like no more information. That feels super urgent because my brain goes to all of the worst case scenarios. Oh my God, who's died? What's gone wrong? Who's got cancer? All the things. Now, it is important to call my mum, definitely, but it's not urgent. Even though my brain wants me to think it's urgent, when I stop and I think about it and I can separate the two, and I know this has happened many times before, and every single time she has texted this, she just wanted to chat. That's all. So I have loads of evidence to support it's okay, it's not urgent, it's important, and it can wait. So just today, my phone was dinging away with messages from one of my friend groups, and we are trying to organize a last minute Christmas dinner. Now, by last minute, I mean it's 5 days from now. Now, this isn't urgent or actually important. Now, I'm not saying my friends aren't important or that I don't love and value them. Of course I do. But what I'm saying is replying to these messages, it's not urgent. It can wait. It's not so important that it has to get done today. It can actually get done after work or tomorrow, and everything will be okay. In fact, by waiting to reply and by doing that, they will likely have confirmed more of the plans and all of the details, and it will actually require less of my time and energy when I actually go to reply. Okay. We can often lose a lot of spoons, okay, a lot of our spoon energy to things that feel like they are urgent or important that in actual fact can wait. So this is why I have notifications for all social media accounts, including Messenger and emails. I have them all turned off. So the only notifications that I get is when I get a phone call, a text message, or a WhatsApp message. Okay. I close tabs on my web browser all the time because I'm notorious for opening emails and Facebook and then leaving them there, but I'm closing them more and more. Now, the exception to this is unless I'm waiting for a really important phone call, my phone is always on silent, meaning I don't hear the text message, I don't hear the WhatsApp message, and I don't hear the phone ringing. It's on silent 99% of the time. And that helps me hugely to not get distracted, but also it helps me to remain with the priorities and the things that I want to make a priority. It helps me to stay focused, and it helps me to retain my spoons rather than sending them in all these different directions. Okay, so let's talk about how to actually do this and some of the work that we can do here. So first of all, I highly encourage you to write your list of top five priorities. What are your top five priorities in order? Okay. And then think about where you factor into this list. And if you write your top five priorities in the way that you have been living by them and you don't like that, you get to rewrite it. You get to say, you know what? It's been in this order and I don't love that order. I want it to be in this order and I want to put me here. Okay? You get to decide that. Number two is to keep a time journal just for one day. This is such a valuable activity. There is no specific day. Just pick any day. I usually pick like a day of the week, Monday through Friday, because that's where the majority of my time is spent, is in the working capacity, right? Whereas on my weekends, my days look quite different. So I usually pick a Monday through Friday day. So keep a time journal for that day. And when I say keep a time journal, from the minute you wake up, have a piece of paper and write down all the things you do. Just jotting notes down. So alarm goes off, I lie in bed for 15 minutes, roll around, cuddle my partner, check my phone. Then I get up and I get dressed, that takes 10 minutes. Then I go downstairs and I faff around in the kitchen, that takes 10 minutes. Then I get outside and I go for my walk. And I walk for 40 minutes this day, I get back, I clean the kitchen, that takes 15 minutes. Then I go upstairs and I have a shower, like all of this. Then I sit down at my desk. I sit down at my desk and I plan out my day. I do some self-coaching. It takes 10 minutes. I then look at my calendar. I get stuck there for 5 minutes. Then I'm scrolling on social media for 10 minutes. Then I sit down to actually draft the podcast. That takes 15 minutes. And then I get distracted and I spend 10 more minutes on social media, right? Like just keeping a track of that for the day. That's what I mean by a time journal. Okay. What we want to do is we then want to analyze it to learn from it. There is so much valuable information in there. It's like gold, okay? We're going digging for gold nuggets. Where are you living in line with your priorities? There will be some areas that you are. And where are you not? There will be areas that you're not. Where are you not living in line with your priorities? And think about some changes that you can make to shift that balance to move things around. And also consider how you would feel if you were to prioritize yourself more. Also, look at that time journal from a spoons perspective. When I did this again recently, and I just kind of went through a bit of my list with you, I saw that a lot of my spoons were going to randomly checking social media on my laptop or sometimes grabbing my phone and checking it throughout the day quite a lot, trying to get that, you know, I was scrolling, trying to get a dopamine hit basically. But in doing so, I was losing spoons in the process and I was getting quite distracted from my tasks. And I recognized that although, yes, I needed the dopamine and I needed that distraction of sorts, I could actually be doing it in a better way by getting up and moving around, doing a few exercises, or going to get a cat to cuddle and coming back to work. Because the phone was taking away spoons. And I could do it in a way in which I wouldn't be taking away my own time and energy and causing a bigger distraction. I could distract myself in a more supportive and healthy way and still get the dopamine hit. Okay, so basically it ended up not supporting my list of priorities when I saw just how much I was actually doing that. Now, look at that list, that time journal for the day. Look at that as well through the lens of urgent or important or something else entirely. Because when I was picking up my phone and checking social media, I'll tell you what, it felt like it was important. It felt like, you know what, I've posted a couple of things, I've commented on a few things, and I'm waiting for an email from so-and-so, like I should check it, it's important. But in reality, it wasn't. It was, what was important to me was trying to get some more dopamine at that point in time. So again, look at that list, your time journal, and look at it through the lens of, you know, what was actually urgent or important or something else entirely here? How was I spending that time? And last idea for you all, if you haven't been factoring much of you into your priorities, as in if you haven't been on that list of priorities, then I want you to adopt the 15-3-1 method, okay? I heard this recently at an event called Tell Me Tauranga, which is here where I live, and it was an event where I had the privilege of speaking on stage with some incredible people who shared their stories, and Whitamu Matthews, he was one of the speakers, and he shared this concept with us about how he found himself burnt out, basically, and very unwell because he had been giving to everyone else and doing so much and running this incredible business and had, you know, supporting his family and his children and everybody around him, but he hadn't been giving to himself. And then he came up with this method, the 15-3-1 method, as a way to make sure that he was taking care of himself each and every day. So what it is 15 minutes a day, 3 hours a week, 1 day a month. That time is for you. It's no work. It's no chores. It is your time with you. Okay? Each and every one of us, we can find 15 minutes a day. We can put aside 3 hours a week, and we can arrange for 1 day a month to enjoy ourselves, to do things that bring us joy. I once did this in a slightly different way where I decided I was going to do a staycation, and I booked a nearby, like in my town, a luxury hotel that was about a 20-minute drive from my house because I was craving this time for me to just enjoy. And, you know, I ordered room service and I had a bubble bath and I watched movies and it was just wonderful and I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And it doesn't necessarily have to cost money when you, you know, take that 1 day a month. It could be that you go for a hike on a nearby trail that you've been wanting to do for a while. Okay, it can be whatever you want it to be. This time is just not for working and it is definitely not for doing chores. Okay, it's not about ticking shit off the never-ending to-do list. That stuff's still going to be there. It's about filling your cup up and making sure that you are still a priority in your life, however that looks. This is you time because you matter. Okay, again, 15 minutes a day, 3 hours a week, 1 day a month. 15-3-1. My friend, you get this one life. You get to create it. You get to live it however you want to live it. So please do it in a way that makes yourself proud. Write down your top 5 priorities. Keep that time journal. Review it and make some changes. Prioritize the asset, which is you. And watch the magic happen. Huge love, my friends. Take care. I'll speak to you soon. Hey, friend. I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD and to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.